gotta find out. Yes, this Thursday, 9:30 canceled. I need to get on the right sheet of music. There you go. All right, here we go. Chairman Brad Holden, I'll call the meeting to order. This is a 10:30 agenda item, and it's fiscal year 2025 budget workshop for the county agent. So, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Good.
Good. We are ready to hear your first draft of your budget.
Awesome. Okay. Well, you have the PowerPoint in front of you. So the first thing is just a reminder of what extension does, because we're a little bit different than how a normal county department functions. So you can see I've cited the legislation that is a part of what extension is, but essentially way back in the day, the land grant institutions were established. And that a part of the land grant institution was the University of Idaho, and with that, cooperative extension. So that's where we come in. We provide community education in a variety of areas to constituents in Canyon County. We do that by bringing the research from the university, so that's why we have that university tie. We work with specialists on campus, bring that university research down and provide quality education to the constituents here in Canyon County. Our county is lucky that we are one of the larger counties, so we have 5 functioning program areas: family consumer sciences, which does a lot of health and wellness education, cropping systems, which is actually an area-wide position. They do all of southern Idaho, lots of soil health education, the Pacific Northwest pest alert, so producers can sign up for an alert. And every time there's a new pest or there's a lot of pests of one type out and about in the fields, they can receive an alert, know what to look for, know how to mitigate, and save crops essentially because of that. What we're known for, the biggest probably, is 4-H and youth development. So livestock education, STEM education, arts education, health and wellness education, all of that is incorporated into the 4-H program. Horticulture, we have a giant master gardener program, over 100 participants, volunteers in that program. They come for a 12-week class, learn how to become a master gardener, and then they take that knowledge and they go teach as volunteers in the community. They answer questions during our plant clinic hours, so people can bring in samples and say, hey, this is happening with my tree, not sure what's going on, can you diagnose it and tell me how to fix it? And they'll do that for free. And then our livestock and small acreage, and so they do a lot of animal nutrition education, livestock education, field days, where they bring youth and adults, producers out and show how to properly feed and take care of livestock, and then also small acreage. So 5 acres or less, how can you manage your land? What do you do with that? We have a lot of new people who are getting larger pieces of land that maybe they've never lived on before. So answering phone calls about how to start whatever they're looking to start on that land, and really providing that education there. So that's kind of what we do. And each year in November, we, from the university side of things, report our measures. And so that's the impact for the year, what we've done, our contact numbers, our accomplishments. And so you can see I've got fiscal year 23 on there instead of 24, because obviously we track that at November. But I've kind of broken it down by those 5 areas. Because we do function a little bit different, we don't receive revenues, but we still have an impact economically in the county. You can see some of the programming, the hours that are given by volunteer service, between the 4-H volunteers who work with the youth, the Master Gardener volunteers, some health and wellness volunteers that have worked at the Senior Produce Program. All of those hours where we manage those volunteers, that's a number, right? That equates to manpower. Being able to save producers money by things like the Pacific Northwest pest alerts, providing that livestock education, and then obviously 4-H with the youth development and what that looks like with providing those valid relationships where youth can come and feel a sense of belonging that keeps them out of places they shouldn't be. And I think, I mean, you can put a number on that volunteer hour, but really right there, there's so much more to that than just that number there. So that's what those 2 slides are, kind of with our accomplishments and our data measures. you can see with the data measures, there's been a trend going up. Obviously, I've included fiscal year 21 and 22, which were still somewhat affected by the COVID-19 pandemic. But fiscal year 23, our numbers are looking pretty good for where we're at in terms of the number of people that we're reaching within the county. So again, we're not your typical department where people are coming in and filing paperwork. We're going out to them and reaching them. So it's our responsibility to do the marketing, to find locations for the classes, to make sure that the class is relevant. It's something that's needed. We have an advisory board who informs what type of programming we do, what things they're seeing out in the community. We look at local research and data to bring those programs together. That's like you can see the Dementia Friends program. That's because our county has 17% of the population who are over the age of 60. And so there's a need there to bring some information about what to look for signs and symptoms of dementia and provide that early information on what that is and how you can support somebody living with dementia. So yeah, we're really proud of where we're at the end of fiscal year 23. We had 4 functioning departments at the end of fiscal year 23. Our fifth educator just came in November last year. And so this year we're expecting the numbers to be even more because we'll have 5 fully functioning departments. We have no vacancies in our office for the first time in a very long time, which is fantastic. Between support staff, educators, and program assistants, it's been a very long time that there's been a full program, all 5 areas functioning. So we're excited for that. So that's kind of the rundown of who we are and what we've done in the past couple of years. Do you guys have any questions about that before we get into what our requests are for this year?
No. Go ahead.
Awesome. So getting into the nitty-gritty, kind of that A personnel budget, we are requesting a new position, but it's a little bit different than a normal new position in the sense that the county has paid about 90% of this position in the past however many years it's existed through a line item in the B budget. So you'll see in our B budget, there's a line item called County Agents Contract, and that has traditionally included the salary of the 4-H program coordinator, as well as salaries of support staff. There's been a lot of confusion with that. It's hard to justify raises and seeing that B number go up so high because it's a full-time position that we're asking for. That position also does not get included in any of the county numbers, even though the county is paying for the majority of that position. And looking back over the history, trying to figure out why it was built that way to begin with, the only reasoning that we can think of is I talked with my supervisor who was here at the time, and he said that there were, at the time, whoever was in that board, I don't know when it started, did not want it to be a county position, and that there are questions about the liability, since this is a 4-H coordinator position and they deal with livestock. We've since implemented loaned employee agreements, and obviously FAIR employees deal with livestock as well. So those liabilities are no longer issues. Other than that, we could not find any documented reasoning as to why this did not initially start as a county position. I don't know if the clerk's office maybe has more information on that, but that's just kind of the history of it. And so for a department head going in and asking and trying to get a full-time position to have a raise, it makes it very difficult when they get buried into that not personnel budget. And part-time isn't as different because it's, or is a little bit different because they're not getting significant raises. They don't have the full benefit amounts written into that. But with the way that it's written now, we've had a really hard time getting the position to market value, keeping somebody in that position because they're not included in annual raises with the university or with the county. They're kind of in this limbo area. And it's a really valuable position to our office. They are in charge of vetting volunteers, placing youth in the 4-H club program, coordinating events, training volunteers. They support at the fair. They're basically 4-H's second hand, right? They're the one that coordinates the entire program. The educator brings that research in and really oversees and provides leadership, but they're kind of that boots on the ground who really interact with the volunteers and youth to make the program what it is. And so when that position is vacant, it really puts a weight on our department. We all have to step in and pitch in. And so we're really trying to, one, make it so it's part of the county counts of full-time employees. And the county's been paying the lion's share of that for years, but it's never been counted into county's insurance counts, county full-time employees. They don't receive any county benefits because of that. And then two, to ensure that we can keep the person that we have in there who is a quality person. She's got 10 years from YMCA. She started about 6 months ago. Make sure that we're paying her market value and being able to include her in annual raises and really make sure that she's there. So the numbers on the PowerPoint are a little different. I used the wrong sheet to calculate numbers, so Sarah sent us the correct numbers. And that's at the mid-range. And I believe the number that you have is 63, but it's actually 75,580 with benefits.
With benefits?
Yeah.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Power plan and the packet, they don't match.
Oh, did I know?
I was going to ask that too. There's no
way.
There's no new reclassified position in what I'm looking at, but I could be looking somewhere.
It's sort of towards the top.
And the county agent's contract is a different number as well.
Yeah, that should have gone down.
The county agent's
contract would have gone down because some of that's all going into the A now.
Maybe I have a different one, but mine says the correct numbers on it.
We'll have to update this for the agenda with the right.
Okay.
It's
because I have for the new classified positions, and this is working with Bosco, this would be the mid-salary range. We actually, he did a market analysis for 4-H coordinators in different counties, and it would the salary that we would transition them into would be a little bit less than that mid-range. So this is that mid-range estimate, which is 75,576.
So this is what's on the agenda.
Mr. Chair, this is okay. One of those.
Yeah.
I asked Tosh to come over and talk to the clerk and I about why is it in the B. It should be in the A. We're paying that 90-95% because it's hard to capture all that. So the recommendation was to move it to the A to capture those benefits and for insurance, liability, all of it. So that's
absolutely. Yeah. Is this position currently receiving any benefits through U of I?
Yes. So they're a full-time benefited U of I employee. But the way that the university's numbers work versus the county's, and because it's buried in the B budget, it doesn't always line up where they're able to get a cost of living raise. I don't think the number's gone up more than 50 cents to a dollar in the past few years. So it's very hard.
They should treat their professors the same way.
Yeah. We got a 1% raise. So.
Mr. Chair, if I remember right, in our conversation, it was like $5,900 difference.
Mm-hmm.
If
yeah.
we pick up the tab with the benefits.
Yes.
By moving it to the A, there's only $5,900 difference.
Yes, so $5,900 is what the university has been contributing to that amount. And there's still the availability of that. It would just have to be discussed with where that money comes from on the university side of things, since they have so many different channels. So, so there's, it's kind of been this weird.
And just one more.
Line item.
Just clarification, we had this conversation, is I posed the question, if the county is picking up the $5,900, is there something on the B that could be reduced to kind of counter that cost?
Right.
And I noticed your mileage, which is one we talked about, you reduced that by about $3,000.
Yeah. So mileage was reduced by $3,000. You'll see, I did try to keep to the 10% reduction because I know that this is a big ask for the county to take on, especially with that mid-range number. And so I tried to reduce the other categories, especially travel, to one, accurately reflect. I've been here long enough now that I can look at the averages. We've had people in positions for enough time now that we can look at averages over the past few years and really put in what those numbers are accurately versus what's an estimate and then what might not get used.
Yeah, because you were pretty new last year at this time, correct?
Yeah, I had just barely under a year.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Chairman, if we're looking at the same thing on the agenda, I think it's accurate. I just pulled it just to check. So, unless we're talking about different numbers.
This sheet here in the packet?
What's posted on the agenda? I don't know if there's a way to make that bigger. Unless, I just want to make sure we're not missing something if that's not accurate.
Yeah, so that's the accurate amount, which is salary and benefits combined for that position, coming in at the mid-range at grade 12 salary, which was the recommendation from Bosco.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that might have been an earlier version on that one. But so we're all on the same page. And then the reduction on county agent, is that?
Yeah, so the reduction on county agent, that one should be the
49,787.
Or 49,959. So yeah, so it's going down by 49,000. And that would be that full-time salary position. So you can see there's a difference between the 49 and the 75. That's quite a bit. And that, again, is coming in at mid-range, which would be a significant increase for what that person's currently making. The mid-range is different from what the recommended value is based on other counties that have a similar position. So the mid-range is 24.53, I believe. But as an hourly rate, but the recommended would be 21 to 22. So that would be a little different.
Chairman, question. So the mid-range was kind of the policy as far as what to post to, with hearing that this would potentially be a county employee. I'm not HR, but it doesn't mean that someone just automatically gets slotted at the mid. They would have to have whatever lateral experience to potentially be hired at that. But hearing you say other counties, it's
the
requested range is a little bit lower.
Yeah, so right now they make $20 an hour.
Okay.
And so we gave that to Bosco and gave him other counties that work similarly where this is a county-funded position. Ada County, we couldn't use theirs because they function all their money through the university. They just write a check from the county to the university. But he looked at Cache County, Kootenai County, lots of different counties that the 4-H coordinator is actually a county-funded position. And the recommendation was that $21 to $22 range based on the position and who is in that currently, their experience. So.
So, Chairman, that was feedback on the specific employee that you're considering.
Yeah, specific employee and the position, yeah.
So this maybe underscores potential confusion that I'll take some responsibility for that. I wouldn't presume to know who is being hired in, but just the standard placeholder was just mid-range. But it sounds like, in this case, possibly the person you'd be hiring would maybe make a little bit below the mid-range.
Yeah. And that's because there's a person in that position already, which is different than maybe a brand new.
If you were hiring
him. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In which case, the baseline, the budget would still reflect the mid unless you made that adjustment in the current year, and then we would recalculate the baseline for FY25. That makes sense based on a hire. But I don't know if this request is effective October 1st for the FY25 budget. So if... But just like any, whether it's a small family or a large family, if someone hires someone below the mid, for example, then you're just realizing a little bit of savings in the budget because you're not spending up to the A. And then we would reset that baseline for the following year based on people who are in the position. And
right.
Just, yeah.
So you're aware that when we do this, you're going to have to bring through HR a narrative of the employee and the blue sheet and all that.
Yes. Their experience, how long they've been in the position, what Bosco already sent me with the other counties, and his recommendation as well.
Sure. Yeah. All right.
And the person is very willing. The one thing they cared about is that Percy remained and with the county benefits. That's not a question. So. Okay.
Right.
Any other questions on... what we're asking for the new personnel. Okay, so then continuing on with our current personnel, we have three county employees that are considered what we call loaned employees. So at the beginning of each new fiscal year, along with our county agreement contract that we submit, we also submit a loaned employee agreement that these employees sign, which clarifies the liability between the county and the university. It allows myself as a university employee to provide supervision to these employees and work with HR to make sure that that is streamlined and the same that any other department, county employees are getting the same treatment. So you can see here, we have Diana Hoffman, who recently transitioned to the position of an office coordinator. When she transitioned into this position, there was not a large raise that was given. It was slight, and you can see right now that there's not too much of a discrepancy between what she's making and what the other employees in the office are making. However, this position has a lot more tasks involved in it. It has a lot more weight within the position. They're responsible for coordinating essentially the entire office goings and comings, making sure that schedules are in, that finances are submitted. They are responsible for submitting all claims to the county. They coordinate classes and make sure classes are where they need to be. They make sure that both university and county policies are aligned with each other. If there's questions, she brings them to me. We talk through that. And just really making sure that things are going well within our office. Essentially a right-hand person for myself, because in addition to being the county chair, I am also responsible for providing family and consumer sciences education across the county. So really that position is invaluable. Diana coming into it has been fantastic. She has looked at things with new eyes. Person who's been in a similar position previously had been there for 28 years. So that's a lot of tradition and history that we appreciated and supported, but at the same time, Diana's been able to bring us into a new era of this is how we can improve these policies, this is how we can track things differently, this is how we can streamline things to make them better. So for Diana, I'm requesting a little bit higher than just a recommended cost of living increase. That would be a 5% increase, which would put her up a step. I don't think it would change her grade at all, but would change where she sits, I believe, along the step. And that really is just to designate that this position does a lot more than the other two. They're valuable as well, but that just kind of making that distinction in our office.
So have you bantered back and forth with HR about this?
I have, yeah. They said that after this is when they would really, you know, that I would suggest the numbers and then they would go back and see where that fits in along the county. And let me know if that was, let you guys know if that was doable or what their suggestion was.
Greg?
Yeah, go ahead.
So on these, in your notes, on our plan, there's three positions. There's two you're recommending kind of a cost of living.
Yes.
It's not really an equity adjustment.
Yeah.
And then you've got the one office coordinator that you want to do an equity adjustment plus a little. Is that a cost of living included?
Yeah, so the cost of living would be, and 3% is what I just put out there. I know that obviously with HR and the board, there would be discussions about what that actually looks like. 3% is just my estimate of a cost of living raise, and then that would be an additional 2% on top of that. So 2% is really that equity increase.
So it sounds like we might have to adjust that compensation program down to the equity adjustment only and remove the 3% because that'll just be countywide.
Yeah.
Just like what everybody's eligible for to go into the compensation line. Would that make sense?
Yeah, that was one of my concerns is that otherwise you're gonna do cost of living twice on these employees and we need to pull that back out.
Okay. Yeah.
And Chairman and Chief Ross, I would and we were trying to preserve the comp program line for whatever cost of living increase that may or may not occur at the discretion of the board that would get applied in everybody's budget, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So even that last part that Chief Rass pointed out for, I think, our office coordinator, my preference is you just you add that into the new reclass position.
Okay.
But then just show in the notes that it's a new position plus this, and then just total those numbers there, and then we'd zero out the comp program line.
Yeah, and I wasn't sure exactly how to do that because the university way they budget things is very different. So.
You're one of those wonderful directors that needs to make two separate budgets to two separate rules.
Yes.
Okay.
We've got to fix consistency in that.
Okay, yeah, I can make that happen.
Yeah, if you would, please. Yes.
To clarify, so putting that 2% for Diana Hoffman, the office coordinator, under the new reclass position, so including that and the 4-H coordinator position under the same.
Correct.
Okay.
And that's, yeah, and that's even more precise because it's really just that. That separation from what you were calling a COLA.
Mm-hmm.
And then it reduces
it
2%. And then if there's a 2 or a 3, whatever, at the discretion of the board, would then just move into comp program, be applied to all people. But I think what we're trying to do is determine if there's any adjustments that are approved on these one-offs, what's the new baseline for the A budget? And then what does a COLA cost for all employees? So we just need to make sure that we have an accurate number in which we're applying a potential COLA to. So,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense. So I'll do that. Okay. Any other questions on the A budget before we move into B? Okay. While our B budget, like I said, kind of goes back into that explanation of how our department functions, yes, we do receive federal and state funding as part of being cooperative extension. Through USDA NIFA and then the University of Idaho and the State Board of Education. The majority of that funding goes towards the educator salaries, which with 5 educators in our county, that's a pretty big number. And so the support, which you can see is written into that legislation about what counties provide at the very beginning that I cited, is a lot of that operating expenditures. So office supplies, printing, copying, cell phone stipends, all of that travel for educators to go and receive that professional development training to make sure that we are providing the best programming possible. Associations, again, to provide to allow us to associate with other extension educators across the nation to bring the best to our county. That's where all of those operating expenses come into. You can see comparing this to last year is obviously overall very significantly reduced, and the majority of that would come from moving that 4-H program coordinator, which has always been in the county agent's contract, to that A personnel budget. That county agent's contract is still probably the most, I would say, confusing as to what really exists within that budget, and that would include salary support, for educators, program assistants, the program coordinator's out. So really that's just it now. So that salary support and for educators and that program assistants. And so that's what's labeled in that county agent's contract. Our program assistants, we currently have a 4-H program assistant that is part-time, and then we make up the other half of that, so it equals out to a full-time person. And then a horticulture program assistant. We did ask for 5 additional hours for that horticulture program assistant this year. The program has grown significantly with new people coming into our county who are wanting to learn about gardening and become master gardeners. And so adding those 5 hours will really be beneficial to that program. And then by adding those 5 hours, it changes her benefit rates a little bit. So it's not a huge difference between what she was making and what she will be making, but it is still a little bit more. And then we've been able to reduce, like I said, accurately what the usage has been over the last few years for all of the travel. We tried to budget in at least 1 conference for educators to go to where they can learn that information and bring it back to the county, as well as mileage just around the county to be able to provide programming. Going to state events where, again, we learned a professional development so that we can bring that back and really provide the best education possible. changing and accurately reflecting what will be used in cell phone stipends and phone stipends. Printing, postage was one that we were able to reduce. We don't mail things out the same way that we used to. And so really just being able to take that estimate that has been fairly large in the past, look at our averages over the past few years and say, this is what we're actually using, this is what we're going to request.
I have a couple questions specifically. Down on the totals for 554401, that's actually building supplies. So total of 55 expenses. I'm missing something. My brain doesn't compute because you add up that column and it shouldn't come up to 11,000.
Yes, and we transpose the numbers between computer supplies and computer equipment.
Okay.
So those should be switched.
Okay.
So I'm not sure if that is reflected on.
Maybe the formula didn't update the totals.
Okay.
Switched in. So I will have to fix that.
Okay, perfect. It's like.
That's where that's coming from.
I'm not that smart at math, but I can get that to work for me. Okay. All right. Two questions. Is your computer equipment completely separate from the county?
In generally, yes. I do believe there's maybe one university employee who I think is actually the 4-H program coordinator currently that has a county computer equipment. In the past, they've done a rotation among all of the computers within our office. With new employees coming in, the university provides what's called startup funds for a new educator, and so that generally provides their computer. We are supported by county IT and university IT, and so we do have that breakdown of which computers are county purchased and which are university purchased. Okay. So
I guess my concern is that a portal into our system through their office if it's a county computer, or?
No, Mr. Chair, their network actually in that building, since we own the building, is all county.
Okay.
So even if it's university equipment, they sit on the county and VPN out into the university.
Okay.
Idaho system.
All right.
It actually works really well.
Perfect.
System.
Yeah, and we appreciate the support. We call Victor over all the time to come help us out.
Yeah, we got great IT people.
Yes.
Keep things working in spite of the commissioners. All right, great. Well, Sarah, if we can get that math changed on that column, I'd be happy.
Oh, it works. What's that? In PowerPoint, I think it looks accurate. So,
Commissioner, I'm dealing with what the public sees.
The bottom line didn't change.
The bottom line.
The total between the two
and that was
expenses.
We didn't recognize it.
Yeah.
We were looking things over that we had transposed.
Duly noted.
trying to keep you out of trouble.
This is why I highly recommended Sarah put in their budget to replace this software.
Approved. All right.
Any other questions about our B budget?
No.
One comment. I really appreciate looking at the B expenses to counter that difference on the A side.
Yeah.
That's appreciated.
Yep.
That is appreciated. Yeah.
We really tried hard to make it, one, accurate, and two, be able to support that transition over. And then for the rest of it, we don't have any C budget that we're requesting this year. For the past 2 years, County Facilities has really supported quite the facelift of our office. Either if you were maybe saw it a few years ago, but when I first started was August 2022, and the office that I started in is very different than the office that I currently work in today.
Yeah.
They were able to abate all the asbestos that was in the floor from that building just being fairly old, put in new carpet, repaint across the entire office. We called it the closet office, and we do have employees who work in there, but the employee that was in that office needed to meet with other people, and it was just so small they were unable to do that. So they built us, put a wall up and built an office specifically for that person. And then this year, they have gone through and replaced all of the lighting in our office to the same lighting that is here in the building. And we're able to put better lighting in our storage areas, which was always a safety concern, put better lighting in our office across the board. And, I mean, it's just been fantastic. They were able to move down the ceiling and do that. It looks amazing. They were able to give us keypads for our doors, which we've never had before, which has been very nice. We've only had them for a few days, but we love it so far. We're just really, really thankful for the support of county facilities for the past couple of years and really being able to completely change what our office looked like.
Perfect.
All that work was budgeted.
It was.
did you get the partitions for the larger room?
We did not get the partitions for the larger room, but as we went through this year, there wasn't a giant need for it. And so in talking with Rick, he was able to kind of move that funding to another project that was a little bit more needed.
Okay.
Still on our list. Eventually, we'd probably like to have that. But and working with Director Britton, we just decided this year it would probably be better for him to adjust things a little bit differently.
Okay.
Okay. And then the last slide is just talking about our goals for this year. One of the things that we consistently get told within Extension that we are working diligently to change is understanding what we do, what our mission is, what we provide, not only to the community, but to constituents through other departments within the county. What is it that we do and why are we here? Why does the county give us that money? And so really trying to get that information out as best as we can, expanding some of the programs that we do currently have, bringing them to farther reaches, working out in some of those farther corners like Milba, Parma, Notice of the county instead of just in Caldwell and Nampa. Certain programs have certain goals, and so that with all of the changes that are happening in school districts across the county, 4-H is working diligently to still be able to provide the in-school, after-school education and partnerships that they've been providing and working with the school districts to figure out what that looks like with their new setup and how 4-H can come in and support versus just saying, well, that's too complicated, we're not doing that anymore. The Master Gardener program expanding, there's a lot of produce that just kind of gets left, or if you have a garden yourself, I'm sure you've noticed, hey, I've got more, what do I do with all of it? Being able to organize that a little bit better so that they can provide produce to those in need. They're actually working with the senior produce program through the Caldwell Farmers Market, which will start in July this year, where Master Gardeners and other people who have come to Master Gardener classes, if they have excess produce, can drop it off at our office, and that can be taken and be a part of the senior produce program, which provides that free produce and fresh vegetables and fruit to seniors in the community. One of the projects that we've worked with is with the Southwest District Health to be able to provide poverty-informed education, so teaching them how to interact better with those who live in poverty so that those people living in poverty can receive that health education, receive those health services. And so expanding that out to other community-serving organizations, whether that's libraries, cities, even county employees, providing some poverty-informed education of how you can really reach those people. And then we're really excited to have our cropping systems educator who has tons of background in soil health. She's already been able to provide workshops on urban soil health within our county and what that really looks like. And so continuing her research and being able to provide that education. And then our livestock educator continuing and expanding some of her programs. She's been providing workshops for youth, for adults. They just had a field day the beginning of this week where I'm going to say it wrong, but it's a necropsy where they actually had the youth come up and they were able to see what that looks like and learn a little bit more about taking care of their livestock properly. And then we're always constantly looking to improve. And so in July, we'll have a county advisory board meeting, our annual meeting, where we meet with people who are participating in our programs across the board. And they come, we ask questions, we have a conversation. They talk to us about what they're seeing in the community, what they wish we could do better, where we can improve, and what we can do to really make sure that we're serving as many people as possible within the county and that our programs are high quality education programs that meet the needs of the people in the county. So
Does your soil person ever work with the Soil Conservation District?
I believe so. She's still new and getting her feet under her, so she's still meeting people. If she hasn't, I'll suggest to have her reach out and have that conversation.
Those guys are fanatics about soil health, so
yeah, that'd be
I'm sure they would mutually enjoy
each
partnership.
Yeah,
I'm sure. Yeah. And I didn't mention on here because the county does not provide any operating expenses to it, but we do have the Parma Research and Education Center through the University of Idaho that is out in Parma. They just broke ground in February for a brand new expansion. They do tons of research on crops, livestock, soil health, all of that. And so the county does not provide any funding to that. That's university funded as a research and extension center, but we do have that within our county as well, so we're pretty blessed to have that. Okay. That's all I had as far as my presentation goes. Just thank you for the continued support. We know we're not the typical department within the county, but we really appreciate the continued support and partnership, being able to be included in the department administrator meetings, working with the Board of Commissioners, working with that open communication that we've really been able to have over the past couple years, I think has made a difference in our programming and how we're able to serve the community. So we really appreciate that.
I think you're doing a good job, so thank you.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely.
Mr. Chairman, I'm good with plugging this in and saving it for future discussion.
All right. I would concur with that, so let the record show that we'll accept this as noted with a couple details changing on the sheet, but otherwise let's accept it as is and move it forward in the budgeting process.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. You ready for adjournment?
I am, sir.
Let's consider ourselves adjourned then. Thanks. Yeah.